So from here, I want to move on to some of the more challenging aspects of practicing with a Sangha. One is just to do with groups. I think one thing that comes up for many people when it comes to practicing in a community is just this basic kind of mistrust of groups, which is often based on some fairly convincing evidence from the past. Alternatively, sometimes people can have really unrealistic expectations about, you know, what kind of things a group can provide. I mean, it would be really nice if we, as a Sangha or even as a culture, could think more in terms of what we can contribute rather than what we can get. And, you know, I know it's catch-22 because if you weren't getting anything, you wouldn't come here. But I do find sometimes there's kind of this almost consumer attitude that people have. There's a very close friend of mine who is not a Buddhist. She's been here a few times. And she told me once, she said, I went to this other Buddhist center and God, it was terrible. Your center is just so much better. And I was like, oh, well, that's nice. You know, and I thought she was going to say, oh, you're all so kind and whatever. And she goes, yeah, they're just, their cushions were really uncomfortable. I'm like, God, I feel so much sort of pride right now. But anyway. So what's different from a group is that the paradigm in the Sangha is that we don't have to look alike. We don't have to be alike. We don't have to eat the same kind of food. We don't have to be the same age or gender or like the same things or be married or gay or hetero or do the same kind of work. And, of course, you know, having those things kind of helps. But I think just the main thing that we share is the wish to be awake in our lives. And it's a very strong thing to share. It's what ties us together. And it's what makes me feel, and, you know, hopefully other people too, feel very at home here. We also don't have to agree on everything. Sangharaja can be a real sort of boat rocker sometimes, and I would like to read a few of those quotes, so here's one. It is not enough to sympathize with something to the extent that one agrees with it. If necessary, one must sympathize to such an extent that one disagrees. And he also says, the group is always wrong. So, there you go. So, I'm not particularly what you call a group joiner, at least not religious groups, which I had never been in before encountering Buddhism. Oh, actually, just, I don't know if, maybe some of you don't know, that I'm involved with pretty almost everything that happens at this center, plus leading things and teaching things, and our local chapter meets, and just there's all different ways. I'm on the council, which is like the board of the center. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I've also lived in this building for about 13 years, which I have always considered temporary, by the way, sort of provisional. And I guess I've been practicing here for about 15 years, which isn't that long, but I have noticed a few things. One thing is that I think that I'm lucky to see many different sides of people in all those different contexts. I see people when they're tired, crabby, depressed, defensive, harsh. For a few weeks, I was some combination of those qualities recently myself. I also see people at their best, their calmest, usually on retreat or in a practice situation. Often at our council meetings, there's a very high degree of harmony, and I feel really energized by them. You know, I feel the power of collective practice, of pujas, you know, the effect of meditating together for an hour or a day or a week, and just feeling so close to people, and occasionally even having an overwhelming sense of people's beauty, which I think that might have only happened when I'm on retreat. Unfortunately, I'm still working on it for when I'm not on retreat. So with my degree of involvement in the Sangha, I see people doing the same things over and over again. Myself doing or saying a lot of the same things over and over again is quite repetitive sometimes. But I do think that this can lead to a level of self-knowledge, which actually isn't available in other ways or with other groups, you know, like at work or with other friends. So just being mirrored by people in the Sangha. I've found out so much about myself since I've been practicing with the Sangha and about other people too. And the amazing thing is just seeing how much people change. I think probably the overarching quality that you see come out more and more in people. I mean, it's different for different people. It depends on, I guess, what you need to cultivate or what's lacking, but you know, you just see people becoming kinder and calmer and knowing themselves better. It is a magical thing to watch, although it doesn't happen as rapidly as I personally I would prefer to. I mean, for myself. Other people are just going by leaps and bounds.